Let's fill out our message notes. If you've got a few of them in your worship guides, you know that we're looking stuck. We're supposed to continue looking at the task regardless that we have ahead of us. This has been a very, very busy week, a week of a lot of joy, knowing that Will and Megan have another one in their life, and now they know what their parents went through since they have two babies at home. Some of us went to a lovely homegoing celebration for Shauna, and that was really a sweet event for not only our Lord, but for Shauna herself. So it's just been a very emotional week as well. During my DPE with the Lord, he has been very, very close, very, very loving, very patient with me, but pointing out certain things that have lift my spirits, and I hope this morning that your spirits might be lifted by something that the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul share with his son in the faith, Timothy. And we find this in Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And here the Holy Spirit had Paul say, Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. The faith and the love from Christ Jesus. And as I've encouraged you to approach the scripture personally, individually, because for me he was saying, express, Ron, how generous and gracious the Lord has been in my life. All the events of the summer with Kathy and so forth. I am very, very blessed by his graciousness to her, to me, to my family concerning her, as well as how generous he was in this, knowing that just in a few months, actually next week now, we'll be celebrating the second year that Ronnie has been gone, that second year when someone took his life on the freeway. But Paul would go on to say, he filled me with the faith and the love that comes from Christ Jesus. The faith, the trusting of our Lord, even in the taking of a child away. The faith where he comes alongside and he is there to continue in Kathy's and my life to encourage us, to give us reason to be hopeful. He filled me with the faith and love that is always marked by his going to the cross for us. He sought my best, my greatest good at his expense. He didn't deserve to go to the cross for Ron Seidel's sins, which were countless. But he did. He did. He was generous and gracious to take the punishment that your pastor deserves. He took it upon himself. He loved me with that marvelous love that can only come from him, all unconditional. The church in America would learn well this love that he has called us to love others with. Some in our church family have people that they're not happy with. Some in our church family have people they have not been unhappy with for a long, long time, and they choose not to forgive them. We need to remember he forgave us. And he gave us this wonderful love letter that we're going to be jumping into in just a moment. Abba, Thank you for your presence here with us. It was a joy to open, I know, my heart, and I trust everybody else's, to you as we were singing these beautiful prayers to you. These prayers that remind us of your great work on this earth and the things you have done in our lives and the reason for us to sing to you and love on you and to be so appreciative. We are blessed by your generosities to us. We are blessed by your multiple gracious gifts that you have given us. I want to thank you, Father, for manifesting this agape love, this unconditional love before us, and constantly calling me, love Kathy with that love. Love your girls with this love. Love your grandkids with this love, Ron. Love your son-in-law with this love, Ron. Yeah, a couple of knuckleheads I brought into the church family that I've asked you to serve. Love them, Ronnie. Love them. Love them as I have loved you. And Father, I want to be a minister of your love. I truly do. I don't want to be one of these false teachers that preach that what other people should be doing and not following after you myself. So please, Father, cleanse me of my sins again this morning and use me as a vessel for your honor, a vessel that brings glory to you as we look into your phenomenal, inerrant word of that you have breathed out upon us. So it's in Jesus' name we come. We come joyous to learn more from you. Amen. Amen. So as we return to our study, we're going to be on page 8 of your message notes. And at the same time, I want to ask you to be staying familiar with pages 6 and 7 of your message notes, those maps. Because today you're going to see a blend. You're going to see a blend of the ancient church, first century. You're going to see a blend of the 21st century through one of the missionary families that we support. A tremendous, wonderful family that has been a good example to us all the years that they've been a part of us through our prayers for them and our support of them financially. So bear in mind as we look at verses 21 through 23 on page 8 again and unpack these verses, that what happened then in the first century has been happening every day in his church for the last 2,000 years. And it is to be continuing on at GHCC, even this morning, as you will see. So back on the gospel road, as we begin to see what the Holy Spirit just filled the heart of Luke to write out so that we would have it this morning, the Holy Spirit says to us, when they had preached the gospel to that city, and that city was what again? Derby. Yes. The rest of you, please, wake up. Come with us. This is a trip for all of us. It's important to understand these cities, these places, these regions, as you will see in this letter from a modern-day missionary. You will see chapter 14 come alive in this letter that I just received on the 18th. You probably received it. I hope you have read it. If you haven't read it from our missionary, then please download it and read it. It's about this chapter and what took place then and is happening today. Because you see, you're going to find yourself as Paul and Barnabas and this wonderful core value team that we call the mission core value team. They were under spiritual attack. They were being drawn into the darkness, but they found themselves in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, victorious. They found themselves significant and being used greatly by God, the Holy Spirit, in these new regions to which they were taken in the first missionary journey. So bear in mind, the evil one, he may have a demon even in here right now, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, demon, if you're anywhere on this campus, you are not welcome. And we don't want you here to fester someone who's already upset about something going on in their life. Someone who is hurting because of a medical report. Just move on out, because the Lord Jesus Christ, if you didn't get it, he is being honored here. Maybe a few of us don't seem like it, but he is, and we are, and we want him to be so. So when they had preached, who is the they? When they had preached, who is they? Okay, Paul and Barnabas and the mission team, all three of them. When they had preached the gospel to the city, Derbe, modern-day Kerti in Turkey, K-E-R-T-I, and had made many disciples, had made a considerable number of disciples. That's this term, hykanos, a considerable number. They made many disciples, many mathetes. The mathetes are different here in our texts, the disciples, than they are in the American church. And maybe some in the Granada Hills Community Church. I don't know. But maybe. Because you see, in the American church, we think there are Christians and they're class two Christians. They're class two in the church. And then you have mathetes, disciples, who are number one. They're people who are a little bit higher up in the church. You know, they're the elders. They're the pastors. They're the teachers in the church. No, you see, mathetes, disciples, these people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus, they have heard him say, come to me, come take up your cross and follow me. Do you understand? Not only hear what I have to say, see what I'm teaching you, but take it and put it to work in your life. Amen. Knowing what I've shared with you and not doing it makes you just an increasingly bigger sinner in the church. Because you see, not to do what he's asked us is to be disobedient. And to be disobedient a little bit is still being disobedient. So mathetes, disciples, and Christians in the American church, they're two different entities. But in God's church, the real church, they're one person. Every Christian is a mathetes, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He or she is a follower of a teacher, of a special person, and what they are learning from them, they are doing. Our teacher is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our teacher is this book. And as you know, the teachers that stand behind this pulpit, the teachers that teach in other rooms around here and teach in Bible studies, they make no apology for the Word of God. Far too many of those churches where you have Christians and mathetes are ashamed of the Word of God. There are passages they will never preach or teach on because they don't want someone to get mad at them. Well, obviously, you know, I don't want you to get mad at me, but it doesn't matter. I can't do anything but deliver his word. That's it. That's it. You know, you can get mad at the mailman all you want. You can sick your dog on him, but it's going to be his word, and that's all there is to it. So mathetes, again, it's being attached to a leader, a teacher. It's being a follower of them. And in our case, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us to help us to do each of those things. And that's why our DPEs are so important. Our deep personal experiences in our gnosko time, those intimacy times with him, I'll continue to be redundant about till the day the Lord takes me home. Because if we're not going to spend time with the Lord, it's kind of like Kathy and I. If I don't spend time with her, I'm not going to have a relationship with her. And then we're not going to have a good relationship because we're not spending time together. We need to be talking to one another. We need to know each other intimately. We need to know those things that hurt one another and those things that please one another and what we can do together to be a blessing in the lives of other people. It is the same between every mathetes and their Lord Jesus Christ, to have this wonderful relationship with him. So the mathetes, there are many of them that have been raised up by God the Holy Spirit in the city of Derbe. They return now to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Bear that in mind as we travel over to the missionary's letter in a few moments. Bear in mind these various cities. They have been there. They have planted churches. They had a thrilling time in each of those cities. But in the end, they had to leave because a lot of the people who didn't like Jesus, they threw him out, chased him out. Even we see in Lystra, Paul being stoned by many of the inhabitants there. And they wanted to take care of Barnabas and the mission team as well. They saw persecution as well as the love of people together. And the mathetes, it says here, strengthening, they were these mathetes, they were being strengthened in their soul as they were going back to these cities and encouraging them to continue in the faith. This term that we looked at last week that I shared with you, episterizo, it means to place a burden upon. It is to place something heavy on someone. Heavy such as making somebody stronger. Some of us that work out with weights, we know we have to continue to work up and up and our weights in order to continue our strength building and that sort of thing. So they want to build up these mathetes in the churches. This should be the goal of every pastor. This is my goal. This is why I go back and forth on certain things. This is why, like this morning, we'll barely get through this passage this morning. It is not my goal to get through a passage. My goal is for us to unpack the passage so that we fully comprehend what the Holy Spirit has said to the mathetes. And what is being expected by our Abba Father of the mathetes, his sons and daughters, to be doing. Because it's obvious that the American church doesn't get it. If the American church got it, there would be 10 times the people that are in the American church and looking to see others of their friends and neighbors and people they work with saved and not going to hell. They would really care about these people. And there's far too many Christians. They flatly don't care. Because they don't share the gospel with anyone. Wrong. So wrong. You and I enjoy the Lord Jesus this morning because of someone else. Back then. Back then. So when they had preached the gospel to the city there, they had many, they had a considerable number of Mathetes. And they returned to Lystra and Iconium to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. They need to be strengthening them because they've gone, obviously, the missions team has gone through a lot of persecution. So you need to build up your brothers and sisters because at the sign of persecution, many people who profess to be Christians, they run away. They're not Christians. They like the people. They like the club. They know that the dues are voluntary. They like that kind of club. No commitment. But this isn't the real church. So they need to be encouraged because the real Christian is going to be needing to persevere during the ceaseless warfare against the forces of the kingdom of darkness. They need to be told about these things time and time again. They need to be encouraged to write all these things down. You know, I put out message notes every week. Very difficult for the staff to put those things together and make them for you. But you see, these people, they had to write down everything. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Old Testament. To have the Old Testament back then on parchments, on vellum or whatever, would have cost, you know, an arm and a leg to own it. And so many Christians, they have a dozen Bibles at home. Why, I don't know, because they don't read any of them. But here, Christians need to be reminded that they should expect hardships. I mean, I was caught off guard with Kathy having this tumor. But being caught off guard didn't cause anxiety. It didn't cause any sense of being dismayed. I was a bit upset, but the Lord was in the midst of it all. I know how crazy he is about her. And I know he made a mistake in letting me have her. But nonetheless, he gave her to me. And he has marvelous plans for her. I had no idea when I would come and interview to be an intern pastor here my last year of seminary that my wife was going to begin her ministry to the women in this church 40 years ago. They got a twofer. I mean, that first year, they didn't even pay me. They didn't pay her either, but. But we need to understand as men and women, young people of Christ, we're going to have trouble in this world. Jesus told us in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. You will, not you might, not you could. You will have tribulation. But what did he go on and say in that packet passage? That's right. You tell him, Barbara. He has overcome the world. And then Paul, he would tell our men in their Bible study. They'll remember this in the Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and chapter 3, verse 12. He said, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Suffer hardship with me. Boy, that's not a selling point for joining the Lions or the Kiwanis Club, is it? Come and suffer with me. No. But Paul says, come and suffer with me as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus. And that throws me back to my military days. That throws me back to a war in Southeast Asia. I remember what it was to suffer. Well, what a blessing to hear Paul say, because Jesus asked him to say it to the men of our church just a couple weeks ago. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul exhorted Timothy. He said, since all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be, not might be, not could be, but will be persecuted. I wonder how many of us, I won't ask by a show of hands, have been persecuted because of our sharing our faith. James, he would tell us, the half-brother of our Lord, what a blessing it is to be persecuted for the Lord. He would share with us that we would grow in spiritual endurance in chapter 1 of his letter in verses 2 through 4. It is something to build us up. As Paul and Barnabas and the core value team are going back to these cities to build them up, because they will be persecuted. And that has been the lot of the church from the beginning. So they're going to be strengthening the souls of the disciples, the mathetes, encouraging them, the mathetes, to continue in the faith. Don't let the things that you've seen happen to us, if they should come to you, don't let them distract you. Once saved, always saved, the Lord Jesus. I mean, if you are to die in this very instant, you're with the Lord, man. Amen. Woman, you're with the Lord. Right then and there. I doubt you'll even feel the pain if it were instantaneously. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, telling them, remain in the faith, family. Be obedient. As I share with all of you this morning, please, the things you have learned, the things you have been asked to practice as a son or a daughter of the Most High God, be doing it. Be obedient. Don't be disobedient. Don't be disobedient. And saying that, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I mean, Paul is later going to write to the Galatian region. His letter is not to a church. It is to the churches all over Galatia that are going to be birthed in the course of time. And he said in Galatians 4:13, you know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. He was hurting. He had a bad medical report. But it didn't keep him from his ministry. It didn't keep him away from doing what the Lord wanted him to be doing. So many times, well, feeling kind of bad today. I don't think I'll have to call and see if someone else will do my ministry. I'm glad that you call, because sometimes people don't even call. You know, we have a dear lady over here. This is her third Sunday that she is working in the nursery. This is the third Sunday she can't worship with all of us. And you know why? Because she doesn't want to be with you, right? No, she doesn't have enough help. She doesn't have enough help. It was the same thing with the gal I love so much. She's out of here most Sundays, not because she doesn't want to listen to KISS. You know, keep it short, Seidel. It's better than, you know, keep it short, stupid. But it's changed over the years. But family, some of us aren't in a core value team. Some of us. And these core value teams, the time that's needed in most of them, not all of them, but most of them, is a very short period of time. A very short period of time. We could be in more than one core value team. These people, Paul's talking about in Galatians 6:17. He says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Man, he's been beaten up. We will learn later on, he's been beaten with rods. Rods are made of iron. These things, at the very least, bruise bones. And they break bones. He's been beaten up, he's been shipwrecked, he's been stoned, as we saw in the last couple weeks. But he keeps right on trucking, doesn't he? Regardless, he keeps on doing the Lord's work. He keeps right on doing it. I mean, if the extra-biblical literature is correct in describing his physicality, he had scars from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. In 2 Timothy 3:11, Paul would say, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Lyconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. And he does the same for all of you. Just look to him. Be strong in the Lord. Well, we're going to pick up in verse 23 next time. Now I'm going to take you to a modern day missionary. I'm going to take you and introduce you, those of you who haven't met the Futch family, but if you would show that first photograph, please. All right. The guy at the end, he's the son-in-law. So we're not interested in him. Being the father of two daughters. There's Sean. And then there is Angie. And their two daughters. So having introduced, next photograph. Is there another one there? This is one of their ministry groups. The ministry is all, it started out in Thailand, still in Thailand, but they go all over Southeast Asia now. You know, if you are faithful in little, he will make you faithful in much. He has just blessed Sean and Angie tremendously. So going on, greetings from Bluffton, Indiana. Before I highlight what's been happening in our lives since our last update, I want to share some big news for those of you who haven't heard it yet. Angie and I will be grandparents in February 2024. Yeah. April and Ted are expecting a daughter, and we are excited for them and for us, he said. My ministry trip to the Philippines in May went very well. He was in the Philippines and preaching the word of God. I connected with disciple makers, mathetes makers, people who are out sharing the gospel in the Philippines. These people are sharing the gospel, people are coming to faith, and they are then raising them up, teaching them what it is to be a Mephetes, to be a son or a daughter of God, to be doing what their Heavenly Father wants them as well as us to be doing. I connected with the disciple makers on two islands, not one. Paul and Barnabas and the team, they go to Cyprus. But here is Sean, and he's going to two islands and sharing the gospel with folks. And it says, on two islands, and led workshops for leaders from different networks of churches. Here he is. He is building up the Mephetes. He is strengthening the souls of people, just like we saw. Our Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, doing. I was also able to visit most of the disciple makers, the Mephetes makers, who had businesses that I helped start up in recent years. He helped these Mephetes, these men who were coming to faith in Christ, to have businesses that would help to support them because they had no support. He helped them discover businesses that they could run and at the same time be Mephetes makers. Since that time, I have continued to be in regular communication with many people there, just like Paul and Barnabas and the team. They're going back to these cities and they're sharing with them things they need to know to strengthen their walk with the Lord. And I am now leading a monthly discipleship forum via Zoom for people who live in Cebu. Here he is, strengthening the souls of believers, just like we see in chapter 14. It comes to life right here in this letter of October 18th, at least that's when I received it. When I was in the Philippines preaching the gospel, I received news from Emily that Angie is in the emergency room suffering from issues related to her gallbladder. So I canceled a week of ministry that had been scheduled in northern Thailand to return to the USA. Soon after my arrival, she had surgery to remove her gallbladder. We are grateful that there were no complications during or after the procedure. Good to know that. But imagine, there he is, way out there in the Pacific region and having to fly all the way home to Indiana. The latter half of June and the month of July was filled with a lot of domestic travel. He's sticking to the task, regardless. I helped Emily I'm not going to go into the family things. I'll let you read the letter. But he says that he went to the missionary church, denominational biannual conference, and there he was the parliamentarian for that conference. And he met with a number of church planters while he was there. Again, building up the church. People are the church. Pastors. Angie and I also participated in the World Partners Missionary Retreat in Michigan, where I led worship. You know, he's not there just kicking back. He's there for the retreat, but he is still ministering. And we enjoyed fellowship with colleagues, encouraging other people in the faith. We all need to be encouraged going forward in the faith where there's so much going on in the spirit world. In August, Emily began her sophomore year at Wheaton College, and I'm going to jump down. You can read about that yourself. Late in the month, August, Angie and I traveled to Hawaii to meet with our supporters. I want supporters in Hawaii. Went to Hawaii to meet with our supporters. During our 4 week on Oahu, Kauai, and the Big Island, we shared at six churches, including our sending church. Oh, to have a sending church in Hawaii. And had many wonderful connections with supporters, friends, and family. Here they are, you know. They're declaring what the Lord has been doing in and through their ministry. And you can read about that in Acts 14, verses 27 and 28. Obviously, we haven't got there yet. But it's this chapter that is coming alive in the first century here before my very eyes. Before we left for Hawaii, Angie's blood test showed that her hemoglobin was starting to drop. After our return to Indiana in mid-September, her hemoglobin level was low enough to cause the doctor to consider other tests to determine whether her autoimmune disease that is titled pure red cell aplasia has reactivated or if something else is happening. Next week, Angie will have another blood test, and unless her hemoglobin has risen, she will have a bone marrow biopsy so the doctor can decide the best course of action. You are remembering these things, right? Because she needs our prayer. You see, this is real. This is real. It's harder for people to grasp that as being real, but this is a real letter. We're being told about two important people in the life of our church. After a number of months of better health and being medication-free, Angie's current health issues are both disappointing and discouraging. Because of this health setback, I had to postpone my ministry trip to Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand that had been scheduled for late September and early October. Have you looked at that map on page 6 and you've seen the various regions and so forth on there? These are our friends, Paul and Barnabas, who will meet in heaven, and those on the missions team. They're moving around and they're going to go to all these specific areas. These things are real. Those people back then are real. They're in heaven. This is what took place then, and it's happening now. The plan was to partner with a Burmese pastor and a Thai pastor to do some pioneering discipleship training and coaching in two new regions. Here we have they're wanting to build up and make new disciple makers who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. This is what the church is supposed to be all about. We are here because someone made a disciple, made a disciple, made a disciple, and over the centuries, and here we are because someone else made a disciple. Disciple training and coaching in two new regions. I also had to postpone a ministry trip to Vietnam, which was scheduled to take place in November because of the necessity of Angie's health trajectory. I have not canceled the Thailand portion of the trip yet, because that doesn't affect the travel plans of others. I will wait until Angie's blood test results come back next week to make a final decision on that. The guy is still sticking to the task, regardless of the things that are coming up. Despite the sadness of having to cancel multiple ministry trips this year, I am grateful for the continued daily opportunities to encourage. We can do all these things. To encourage, to train. Some of us could certainly say, I want to be trained. And coach disciple makers in various Asian countries using various online platforms. He can still be encouraging people. He can still be building up the church, other pastors who will be out there sharing the gospel to be able to share more things that they themselves needed to learn so they could be a greater touching post for people to understand the gospel more and more by using the internet. We are also engaged in ministry here in Indiana. I mean, he's still working. Here in Indiana. And Angie has been teaching Sunday school at the local church we attend and has been leading Zoom calls with World Partner Missionary kids whose parents are serving in other places around the world. She's sick. She's sick. But she's still sticking to the task, regardless. Amazing. I've been meeting with a young man here to encourage him in his life journey. Here he is encouraging a brother. He's teaching him. He's discipling him. He is mathetasing him. And continue to serve as a strategic advisor for World Ventures, an organization that supports business as mission projects around the world. I regularly receive wonderful reports and accounts from our ministry partners about what God is doing throughout Southeast Asia, the places he has been serving the Lord, building people up, making disciple makers. These reports, when we get to verses 27 and 28, this is what he's doing now. But he goes on and he says, people are coming to Jesus and learning to be disciples, mathetes, real Christians. And believers are becoming disciple makers. Those that are already disciples, they're becoming disciple makers. What a novel idea for the American church. Becoming disciple makers who take the gospel to their friends. Oh, really? Friends and families. They're not afraid to share the gospel with them? Because of the length of this update, I can't give you a country-by-country account of what is happening, but please, please email us if you would like more information about what God is doing in the various nations we serve. This is a today report from the field. This is a report from the field in the first century, the first missionary journey. What's the difference? They're doing what they're talking about, and so should we. Get it?
Got it.
Good. Now let's see what the Holy Spirit does in each of our lives to bring about this and this and those of us that may need some help. Let's pray. Abba, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this letter from Sean. And on behalf of he and Angie and their family, Father, we ask your protection of this family, that you keep the evil one and their minions away from this family that you have raised up and are so active in this world. And they are doing exactly what your Holy Writ tells us that we should be doing. Thank you for these living, very real examples for us. May we take to heart what you have shared with us in your love letter and in Sean's love letter to us this morning. May these things be activated by your Holy Spirit in each of our lives. May we be going to the leadership in the GHCC family and say, how can I be of service? Like a few of you have been doing in the last several weeks. I'm so blessed when I see this particular a woman that I'm thinking of that comes and wants to be such a tremendous help in almost any way that she possibly can. My Lord, we want to make a turn. We want to make a change. I want to see every single person who declares GHCC to be their church home, to be involved in one of our core value teams, that we may take on the mission that you've given us and the vision, see it clearly, and become part of one or more of these core value teams, and be a blessing to you, and to be a blessing in the lives of other people that are out there who we haven't even met yet. Please, my Lord, may you continue to bless us as you have blessed the Futch family. Ah, Father, how we pray for Angie, how we look to you that you would be gracious to heal her and to bring peace to the heart of Sean. I can only imagine how he feels having walked that path with Kathy. So, Father, I thank you that your Bible is for real. I thank you that we have missionaries that are doing your work for real. I thank you, Father, that we don't have a leadership team that says we can't preach the full word of God from this pulpit. Thank you that we can declare what needs to be declared and give opportunity to everyone in our church family and those who have yet to come to be a part of your great and awesome and loving ministry. For it's in Christ we pray these things. Amen.